Welcome to the Community Christian Church Montgomery podcast. We are beginning a brand new series, How to Bless Your Neighbor. The majority of us who have been impacted by God's love and the life of Jesus are looking for a way to share this good news with our neighbors, co-workers, family, and friends. This six-week series will mobilize our people to carry out the Jesus mission by living out the blessed practices. Here is our community pastor, Mitchell Shiver.
Exercise in which I'm going to say a corporate slogan or a tagline, and I want you to tell me the name of the company. For example, if I said, melts in your mouth, not in your hand, you would say M&M's. Good. You guys are good. I think you're going to do well with us. So let's try a few more. The quicker picker-upper. Bounty paper towels. Exactly. How about America runs on Duncan, or someone said this morning, Mitchell runs on Duncan. Had a large coffee on the way to church this morning. Here's one that's been around for a while. There are some things that money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. Yes, yes. These taglines, you know, have a way of kind of sticking around and being very memorable and even for long periods of time. And I would suggest that maybe the most memorable tagline of all is the tagline, Just Do It, which is from Nike. Now, did you know that Nike came out with this tagline in 1988, okay, 31 years ago, 1 year before Community got started? And Community has a slogan as well. We call it a mission statement. And maybe, you know, Josh said it in just a moment ago. And I would say that maybe a vast majority of us are familiar with this mission statement. But this mission statement drives everything we do. And but I'm curious, maybe most of us might know the mission statement, but do we know the heart behind it? Do we know the story behind it? You want to know the story behind it? All right, four people. All right. I'm going to tell you anyway. In the very early days of Community, one of the, probably the heartbeat of our church from the very beginning was to reach people who are far from God. From the very beginning of Community, this has been the heartbeat. This has formed the foundation of why our church exists. If you want to know, and especially if you're new today, this is a great day for you to be here because you are going to come to discover why we exist as a church. And it's to reach people far from God. And that heartbeat comes straight out of the Bible, straight out of Luke 15, in which Jesus tells a story about a son who asks for his inheritance from his father way before he was supposed to. He was eager to get that inheritance, and he asks for his inheritance, and he goes off, and he squanders that inheritance, and he finds himself in a dark place. And in that dark place, the Bible says that he comes to his senses, realizing that he has squandered everything, and wondering if he can even return home. And his plan is to return home and beg his father to just receive him back into the home, even as a lowly servant. But he's shocked to find out that his father actually welcomes him back home, not as a servant, but as a son, and welcomes him with open arms. And this story that Jesus tells in Luke 15, it is the heartbeat of our church, it's the heartbeat of our mission, because it reminds all of us that we are all prodigals. We are all finding our way back to God. That's why our mission statement is helping people find their way back to God. Now, we all know with the slogan that it's one thing just to know the slogan. And we repeat it every Sunday, and if you come here, you know, more than, you know, once you come here, even 1 or 2 weeks, hopefully you could recognize that we often say this, but it's one thing to say something, and it's another thing to do it. Now, when it comes to Nike, going back to them for a minute, just do it. A lot of us know when it comes to, let's say, exercise, we might wear Nike clothing, but we just don't do it. You may not know this, but I learned this week, that there's actually a very popular line of clothing now called athleisure clothing. True story, athleisure clothing. I'm an investor. And athleisure clothing is clothing that you wear to appear that you work out, but you don't. I think they were thinking about me when they were marketing this. But that's the kind of culture that we live in. Knowing and doing, we know, are two different things. And so my question this morning, see, I'm willing to bet that every single one of us in this room this morning wants the people that we love in our life, our friends and family and neighbors, we want them to find their way back to God. I don't think I could ask any person in this room today, do you want the people around you to find their way back to God, that anyone would say, no, I don't. Don't want them to find their way back to God. I think every one of us would say, absolutely, I do. But the question this morning for us to really wrestle with, and I want us to wrestle with it, is how do we move from just hoping people find their way back to God to helping people find their way back to God? Because it's one thing to hope. It's one thing to know. And it's a completely other thing to help and to do. I believe every one of us has been called to this mission. So how do we do that? You see, we might think, well, God's mission starts with Jesus and his disciples, and then it moves from there. But actually, God's mission goes all the way back to the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, and God's mission starts there. And take a look at what God says to Abraham. God says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Quick quiz this morning. What word appears in this passage five times? Bless. Bless. You can see that this word is appearing over and over again. It must mean something, and that's true of any scripture. When you read something, that any word pops up over and over again, we need to ask ourselves, what does this really mean? This must be important. And in this passage, the word bless appears. So God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And then it just piles on top of that. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and then I will bless those who bless you. So it's like blessing all over the place. And then not only that, here's the icing on the cake, Abraham. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Who? All people on earth will be blessed through you. Every single person on the face of the earth, Abraham, will be blessed through you. That is incredible. An incredible promise that God makes to Abraham. What's even more incredible are the circumstances in which God makes this promise. Because Abraham and Sarah were old. Like really, really old. And they didn't have a child. They didn't have a legacy. They didn't have anyone who was going to receive the inheritance. There was no one standing around when God said to Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you. There was no one standing around that said, wow, that would be me. This is great. Nobody was there. It was a seemingly ridiculous promise in the midst of difficult circumstances. But this is exactly where the mission of God begins. It's where the end of our own plans, our own agenda, our own efforts, our own talents, the end of that is where God's mission begins. Because it's often in the midst of seemingly impossible circumstances in which God gives his mission. Because God wants his mission to be about God. Well, that's selfish. Well, no, it's God. God can do that. He's God.
God gives his mission to Abraham in the midst of this seemingly impossible circumstance, and he tells Abraham to go. Our God is a God who's always on the move. God is always on the move. And he gives this mission to Abraham to go and be a blessing to the people and the places that he finds himself in. The mission of God is impossible to accomplish by staying put. Right from the book of Genesis, right from the very beginning, we see this truth about the mission of God, that we can't accomplish the mission of God by staying put. So God says, Abraham, go and be a blessing. And wherever you go, everything you need to accomplish that mission comes from God. So God doesn't say, Abraham, go and be a blessing and like good luck. And, you know, I've given you this mission and good luck on accomplishing it. Now, get out there and go get them, tiger. But God has given him everything that he needs to accomplish that mission. And so from the very beginning of the pages of the Bible, God has a blessing strategy. And he's been on the move from that moment up until now, that Abraham and every person down to you and me in this room today, God has called to go and be a blessing to every person and every place that he puts us. Well, that sounds great, Mitchell. I mean, that's kind of inspiring and, you know, motivating, and that's great. And maybe we just leave now, but I've got a question. You know, how do we actually do that? What does that look like? And if we're going to ask what that looks like, what does it look like to go and be a blessing, we've got to start with looking at the person of Jesus. Because Jesus, more than anyone else in human history, was sent by God to go and be a blessing to the people and the places that he encountered. In his famous sermon, the greatest sermon ever, the sermon that all pastors and teachers of God's word, it's like we dream about having a Sermon on the Mount type of moment. Jesus had this Sermon on the Mount in which he talks about being a blessing. He gives 9 ways to live a blessed life. And word was spreading far and wide about Jesus blessing people and places that he encountered. And look at what happened as a result. It says people were bringing children to Jesus so that he would, what? Bless them. Then he hugged the children and what? Bless them. Word spread fast about Jesus' ministry, that he was going from place to place talking about the kingdom of God. And part of that message of the kingdom of God arriving was that every person in every place was blessed because of Jesus. And people were coming to Jesus in droves, so much so that he had to withdraw at times just to be with God and be in a moment of silence. But people were bringing children to him, and Jesus was blessing them. There was not a breath that Jesus took or a step that he took in which he did not bless a person or a place. Everywhere he went, Jesus blessed people. And one of the most powerful examples of that, Luke, a historian, records this encounter. And it's an encounter that Jesus, it's not part of the agenda for this particular day. In Luke chapter 19, it says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was because he was short, so he could not see over the crowd. I'm sorry, short people. God loves you too. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. As I said, this was not in the plan. I can imagine maybe one of the disciples carrying the agenda for that day, where they were supposed to be and the times they were supposed to be there. And it says that Jesus was passing through Jericho. It was not on the plan. See, that's part of God's mission, God being on the move. God presents an encounter for us to make a difference in someone's life, to be a blessing to that person that is not on the agenda. All of you planners in the room, you're getting really stressed right now. This is the way in which God works. He gives an opportunity to bless people. And Jesus shows us that often that opportunity doesn't show up on the schedule. It's not on our radar. It's not in the plans. And so if it's not in the plans, if it's not on the schedule, we've got to be aware of it. Now, Zacchaeus was a hated person. Tax collector, chief tax collector, the most hated person in the culture in that day was a tax collector and a partner with the Roman government. To his fellow men and women, Zacchaeus was the traitor. He was the traitor. He was the Benedict Arnold of this day. You're partnering with the Romans. You're a traitor. You're selling us out. You're out to get us. And Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, and Jesus invites him himself to Zacchaeus' house. Now, I would suggest that you ask the person first, maybe before you invite yourself, unless you're Jesus. Jesus can do that. He invites himself to Zacchaeus' house, which in that day was a clear act of friendship. When you go into someone's house and you share a meal in this time, that's a clear sign of a relationship moving from just acquaintance to friendship. And now it was a friendship. And that day, Zacchaeus, as we would say, finds his way back to God. And look at what Jesus says in response. Verse 9, it says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The reason that the heartbeat of our church is to reach people far from God is because it's the heartbeat and mission of Jesus himself. Jesus did not come to seek and save that which is already found. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He says, today salvation has come to your house, Zacchaeus. Jesus doesn't say, all right, Zacchaeus, I could see that you've got some things to clean up in your life. If you would just go home and straighten those things out, come back to me next week, then we'll talk about this salvation thing. Zacchaeus, I know you promised to give away almost all of your possessions, but I really need to see your checking account to make sure you've got the funds to cover that. I mean, we all say things we don't mean, Zacchaeus, so I want to see that you've got the money to cover that promise. Tomorrow or next week, salvation might come to your house. No, Jesus says, today, salvation has come to your house. Because when God is on the move, when God's mission is working, it's God who works in and through people to help other people find their way back to God. And that's what happens with Zacchaeus. He experiences the blessing of God. A man who's known as a traitor is now called a son of Abraham. That's what the church should be filled with. Should be filled with men and women in which other people are shocked that they're even here. If someone is shocked that you're here, you know you're supposed to be here. And those are the type of people that God has called us to reach. Zacchaeus experiences a blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Jesus was blessed to be a blessing. Zacchaeus was blessed to be a blessing. And you and I are blessed to be a blessing. That's the mission that God has given us. Paul says it this way in Galatians 3. He says, "Understand then that those who have faith," okay, meaning anyone who chooses to follow Jesus, "are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." So those who rely on what? Faith.
are blessed along with Abraham, the man of what? Faith. Choosing to follow Jesus, that's faith. The promise of Abraham extends right down to you and me. That's what Paul is doing. He's drawing a line all the way from Abraham to you and me sitting in these seats this morning to say that anyone who has faith or anyone who chooses to follow Jesus is blessed. That's you and that's me. If we choose to follow Jesus, and when we find our way back to God, we receive the blessings of God. But here's what we do. We start experiencing the blessings of God, and we grab our buckets, and we fill up those buckets of blessing, and we go hashtag blessed, and I'm so blessed, and I've got these buckets of blessing, and then I'm just kind of filling them all up. But the mission is not about accumulating buckets of blessing. The mission is about being a river of blessing, in which God has blessed us, and God has called us to let that blessing that we've experienced flow out of our life into the people and places that he's called us. Because if the river gets stopped up and the river runs dry, people are going to starve and thirst. Paul puts it this way. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, when anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God. It's not from me. It's not from you. All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross, and he's given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sins against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. You recognize this language? Helping people find their way back to God? Paul's echoing that. It says, God was bringing the world back to himself. God has trusted us or entrusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. You and I have an incredible opportunity to speak a message with our lives that every person can find their way back to God. That no person is too far from God. No person is too far gone from God. No person is beyond God's love and grace. No person is outside the boundaries of God's acceptance because of Jesus. That we all are prodigals. That's the message of the mission. And God says, I'm entrusting that to you. You know what? How important it is to entrust something? If I were to bring my life savings to your house this afternoon in a box, and I entrusted it to you, and I said, I need you to keep this for me. I'm going to be gone for a little while, but I'm going to come back. I'm entrusting this to you. How seriously would you take it? We're not talking about a box of savings. We're talking about eternity. Things that matter. The message that God has given us is straight out of heaven. Not your message, not my message, not, you know, community's message. It's God's message directly straight to us from heaven to bring others back to himself. I would be willing to say that I could go around this room and we could tell stories of how we've been blessed. And I would say if you were to ask me, maybe more than any other people in my life, the people who have blessed me the most have been my parents. From a very young age, I saw my parents live a life in which they saw what God had given them and how God had blessed them. They saw that as existing for the benefit of others, not to terminate on themselves, not for them to keep, not for them to accumulate, but for them to bless other people. My parents are not perfect, and I know there's people in this room, and you have not had that, you know, blessing of having parents that raised you in that way. And I recognize that, but I've been blessed to have that and I'm grateful for it. But even more than what my parents would say, it was what they would do. Because it's not about knowing, it's about doing. I saw my parents spend time with friends who were terminally ill when everyone else had forgotten about them and bring them
groceries and just sit with them. I've seen my parents take children who didn't have, you know, the money to buy school supplies and buy school supplies for teachers who had children in their classroom. See, my parents sponsor kids for camp and other things, and I've seen my parents spend time with people who nobody else would pay attention to. And it's because of that that I saw through them and wanted that same thing for myself, and I saw my life as being for the purpose of blessing others. And when I was about 10 years old, I said, I want that to be my life. I want that to be true of me. And I walked down the aisle of my home church and, you know, sang Just As I Am 40 times. And I said yes to Jesus. I was 10 years old. And on that Sunday of September 23rd of 1991, I committed my life to Jesus. I wanted God to use my life to be a blessing to others, and I was baptized that day. And I would be willing to bet that you have the same desires, that you want people around you to find their way back to God, that you desperately even want them to find their way back to God, the people you love, the places that you find yourself. And that's what we're talking about in this series, how to bless your neighbor. And maybe these are new practices, and maybe these are practices you've heard before, but maybe we need a refresher if you've heard them before. My guess is that maybe some of you in this room have never heard these practices that we call the blessed practices. We believe that these practices can enable us to live a life in which others can look at that and see, wow, you are blessed to be a blessing. The first letter, B, stands for begin with prayer. Because prayer is foundational. It's how we discover the mission that God has given us. It is the power source for everything we do. We cannot move with God without starting with prayer. Begin with prayer. L is for listen. Sadly, Christians are known far more for talking than listening. Relationships start with listening. Relationships begin with getting to know a person's hopes and dreams and challenges. The E is my personal favorite. A lot of us are experts in it. Stands for eat. There's something spiritual that happens when you share a meal with someone. I believe that when you share a meal with someone, and by the way, hospitality is not the people who, you know, you like to hang around and you call friends all the time. True hospitality involves inviting a stranger into your home and sharing a meal. Kind of sidebar there. But eat. It's a spiritual practice. That relationship moves from acquaintance to friendship. The first S stands for serve. And here's where we get it out of order. See, when we say, okay, Mitchell, I'm going to bless my neighbor. I'm going out this afternoon. I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to bless my entire neighborhood. Then I'm going to go to the neighborhood next to me. I'm going to bless the schools. I'm going to bless everybody. This is what they need. And we start with what we think that they need because we haven't began in prayer and we haven't listened. And once we begin in prayer and listen and eat and spend time, we learn their needs. And God makes it very clear how we can best serve them. The last S is share. Share your story. Because when we've done those practices, we believe that God gives us an opportunity for us to share our story. Story being how Jesus has changed our life. Story being of what God is doing in our life. Story being a response to the question of, hey, why do you live differently? What is it about your life? I don't get it. I don't understand. You didn't respond like everybody else responded. You were extremely generous last week. What is behind that? I want to know the reason behind that. And that's when we share our story. The blessed practices are not just an acronym, but a model for us to live in the way of Jesus and see our lives as existing for the purpose of blessing other people. And think back to Zacchaeus for a moment. Zacchaeus, the man who was on the outs with God, despised, forgotten, lonely, was invited to sit at the table with Jesus. And at the table with Jesus, he was no longer despised, no longer forgotten, no longer lonely. And that invitation that Jesus extended to Zacchaeus, he extends to every one of us, and he calls us to extend to the people that he places us among. Jesus invites you and me to the table. And you might be here this morning and you might be thinking, you know, I'm on the outs with God. Maybe you don't even want to be here. Maybe you were dragged here. Maybe you were promised lunch. I don't know. But you're here and you're like, I don't really belong here. And I want to say to you that you do. I think one of the things that we have to grasp, if we don't grasp anything else when it comes to life and faith, it's that we are fully accepted by the Father. And I think there's some of us in this room that feel like we're on the outs with God. We feel like, you know, Jesus, he would never invite me to the table. But he does. He invites you and me to the table. And he says to us, you are blessed. You are mine. You are loved. And you are blessed to be a blessing. So who isn't sitting at the table yet? Who in your life is yet to be sitting at the table? That God is calling you with your life, and that's the key, with your life, to give a message that you're blessed to be a blessing. I pray that we see ourselves as being called by God to do just that. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would help us, God. You would help us to move outside of ourselves from knowing to doing. You would remind us that we have everything we need to accomplish this mission. You would encourage us to see ourselves as having a seat at the table with Jesus, who says to us that we are blessed, that we are his, that we are loved, that we are fully accepted, and that we would live our lives in such a way in which that truth is just emanates from our life. It flows out of us. And God, we ask that you would renew that in some of us today. We ask that you would spark that in some of us for the first time, to give our lives to this mission, to know that this truly matters. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Service times are Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at communitychristian.org/Montgomery.